ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
In the build-up to Anzac Day, we've had big announcements about weapons of the future, of geopolitical strategy, and speeches by politicians hailing the Defence Forces. But it's easy to lose sight of the deep and sometimes conflicting emotions this day can bring for so many people who have served in the military or with family members who have. This morning, we're joined by three veterans to share their thoughts about this National Day of Remembrance. John Lane is chair of the Military Veterans and Emergency Services Personnel Mental Health Network at the Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Psychiatrists. Michaela Gilovich is a former member of the ADF and also an Invictus Games athlete. And Gary Myers joined the Navy at 15 and served in the Vietnam War. I spoke to them earlier. John, Michaela, Gary, welcome.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you.
Michaela, tell us what Anzac Day means to you.
Anzac Day has always been fairly emotional for me. My father was a Vietnam veteran and he died when I was quite young. But as I've gotten older, the meaning and reflecting on my dad is still there, but certainly things have changed a little bit with life experience and experience in the army as well.
Gary, you served in a war where the public wasn't supportive of servicemen or women who returned. How have public understandings and attitudes changed over your lifetime?
Quite significantly during and after the Vietnam War. Veterans were treated with contempt, even by ex-servicemen that were from World War II and World War I. They weren't considered to have fought in a real war. I was only serving in the Navy. I didn't see combat or anything like that, but it didn't matter if you were in the armed services. You were a person to be held in contempt.
What impact did it have on you?
Ah, significant. I basically denied my military service for 30 years after I left the Navy.
Do you feel like that shift in the culture has significantly helped you be more open about it and to be, you know, part of the community?
Definitely. I have no doubt that that did have an impact, and it basically came about through my mum when she was still alive. She saw an article in a Gold Coast newspaper that she cut out and sent to me. And I reconnected with some of my friends from the military days and attended my first Anzac Day service. And since then I've been involved, and to the extent that I became a Veterans Welfare Officer.
John, we spoke earlier this year at the close of the hearings for the Royal Commission into Defence and Veterans Suicide. What are some of the ways, positive and negative, that you see people being shaped by their experiences as veterans?
I think, you know, going into the military in whatever branch it is, typically people go in somewhat younger, and, you know, that's a really important developmental stage of life because people are looking for some sort of identity to adopt, and the military gives you exactly that. That's one of those key things because you learn a bunch of valuable sort of skills, and also those experiences that help shape you as a person, you know, being given responsibility, having values such as honour and integrity, the value of service, you know, doing things for other people in a much more selfless kind of way. And so people that have had that sort of military experience have had a whole bunch of experiences that other people just don't, you know, and in many ways, we thrive under pressure. We're very much about getting a job done and getting that job done well. And that's, you know, really, really good for a lot of people. Unfortunately, for also a lot of people, and what I see in my role as a psychiatrist, is that people don't cope so well or become overwhelmed by, you know, the stresses that you have in military service.
So, John, what role can Anzac Day play in healing or, you know, just supporting former ADF personnel and families?
I think Anzac Day and the wider public sort of celebration of Anzac Day is actually really important because, as Michaela was alluding to, Anzac Day has particular significance for us who've served. And for those people who haven't served, it's always really good to see, you know, people with their family medals and all of those sorts of things. But I think it's the one day of the year where we kind of trot veterans out and thank them for their service. And it makes me kind of wonder sometimes why we don't do things like that more often, you know, why we don't celebrate that history of military service that has actually sort of fundamentally shaped the identity of our nation like Anzac Day did.
John, you were also deployed to Afghanistan. What are some of your feelings during this moment marking the sacrifices of previous generations?
I have been going to Anzac Day celebration, well, commemorations and services since 1989. And, you know, I was in a service in Darwin in 2013, just prior to deploying in May that year. And, you know, that was really pensive. And as Michaela said again, my experiences have sort of changed over the years. And after I came back, you know, pretty much every year now, I can't stop myself from crying, from tearing up and everything else. Because unfortunately, in my job, I see a lot of the hurt and the issues that sort of come from the return from operational service. And, you know, this is the day where we actually remember what happens to people after they come home, not just those that don't come home. And it can be really, really tough. But Anzac Day, as the other folks were saying, is kind of a time for us to come together and to remember our services. And for any listeners that are veterans, please reach out to other veterans tomorrow afternoon, morning, sometime like that, because this is the time that we can come together because we've been there, done that. You know, we've got that kind of lived experience and other people might not necessarily be able to understand it.
Michaela, there are so many different experiences among ADF personnel and ways in which people served. What does the label veteran mean to you and how do you think it's evolved?
That's a really interesting question. And I think for a lot of people, when we think of the word veteran, we think of those World War One and World War Two soldiers that either died in battle or came back very wounded. DVA, the Department of Veterans Affairs, now sort of have this policy of saying a veteran from day one. And they're recognising that service involves sacrifice, whether or not you went overseas and deployed. We all signed up with the knowledge that that was potentially going to happen to us. And I think it recognises that trauma can come from anywhere. It doesn't have to be from battle or the threat of battle. It can come from, you know, things that happen to you in your everyday life or things that happen to you when you're in an institution that historically hasn't treated people in a way that most people would find acceptable. And that's not everybody's experience. But unfortunately for me, I got injured quite early on playing sport, nothing fun. And then the rest of my experience was being left out, being bullied, dealing with chronic pain and not being believed about my injury. So acknowledging that veterans come from all different service backgrounds, all different experiences and aren't necessarily war veterans has been really healing for me and a lot of people like me.
Oh, that's a really interesting and powerful point. Gary, and then to the others as well, do you feel like there's a very large divide between civilians and veterans in our country?
I would say there's definitely a divide in understanding. However, I think the mainstream Australians these days have a lot more respect for our veterans and our servicemen and women. I have seen a shift in the way attendance at Anzac Day parades and so forth. I can't ever remember being thanked for my service pre-mid-80s. That happens constantly these days, particularly on Anzac Day and also at other types of commemorations.
John, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with both Gary and Michaela. But, you know, in many ways, the wider Australian community doesn't understand what it means to have that service experience, I think. And Michaela's female, for a start. And so how many people look at a woman wearing a set of medals and go, oh, what did your father do or your husband do or whatever else, you know? And we have a lot of women who have served overseas and who have served. And even just those sort of gender stereotypes are really quite hard to break down. And, you know, I'm an older guy now, I'm in my early 50s. And, you know, I wear my medals and things and people are like, well, what did you do? Vietnam War or something, you know? And so people don't necessarily consider that we spent 20 years in Afghanistan, you know, and we spent over a decade in Iraq. And then prior to that, there was you know, deployments all over the place as well too. And I'm just not sure we get our modern Australian military history as much as we sort of focus on things like Gallipoli and World War II.
Michaela, final word to you. I thought, yeah, that was a really interesting point made there.
Yeah, I think what John and Gary have both just said now is very relevant. But one thing that I feel really strongly about is the effect that Vietnam veterans had on the veteran community still today. They came back and they fought for healthcare and cover and services for veterans. And we still feel that effect today. Definitely, I feel like modern day veterans have a lot owed to Vietnam veterans who came back and were treated so badly and refused really to accept that they weren't entitled to decent healthcare.
Strongly agree. Yes, strongly agree.
A lot of work certainly put into changing things substantially, and now again through this Royal Commission, even more work from others. Thank you to all of you. It's been a real pleasure to speak to you.
Thanks again, Patricia.
Gary Myers, Michaela Gilovich and John Lane. Open Arms Veterans and Families Counselling is a line available 24/7 on 1800 011 046. There's Lifeline 2, which is 13 11 14, and the Suicide Callback Service, a 24/7 service on 1300 659 467.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.